Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Sparty live from Greensboro. It is Thursday. For those that are in the county, I want to go ahead and wish you a happy and safe spring break. For those that are listening that may not be in this county and you're still on spring break, I hope that you are having a good and safe one. Tonight is our part two with author Linda Wim, the author of Whose Apple Is It Anyway? If you missed last week, ladies and gentlemen, you missed a treat. This phenomenal woman spoke of not only her books, but her pain as well as her progression. And she gave others that were listening as well a way to get over their own pain, trials, and tribulations. So we are going to continue with a part two with Linda Wim, NSW, as she continues to give us words of encouragement on things that we experience in our lives. Are you there, Linda?
I certainly am. How are you today, Sardi?
I am awesome sauce because I am off for a week and God is amazing. So I am ecstatic about it. How about you?
I'm doing well, thank you, doing very well. I just got through re-listening for maybe the third time from our talk last week, and I noted that we had just begun to mention relationships, and I was listening to some previous shows that you had done, and relationships had come up. It seems that to me that relationships are just on everybody's front burner, especially women nowadays who, when you get up to my age, basically get to the point where you have much less tolerance for junk, if you get what I'm talking about, and you wind up spending a lot of time by yourself. But as I do that, I'm just noticing that there are a lot of young women who appear to be desiring relationships and just nowhere near equipped to be able to determine when and where that might not be the right person for them. And I'm just wondering if you heard from any of your listeners at all during your doing your shows and everything, if this is something that you noted as well, because it just seemed like everybody wants the hookup, but when it doesn't work out, it just leaves such devastation.
Said that the 2 weeks prior to having you on this show, I had two males that were actually featured. One was Idris Bolton, and the other one was Marcus Lewis, who was also a writer.
Okay.
And it was weird to hear from the male perspective, to an extent, how they feel that we don't hold our men accountable for their behavior.
Wow.
And it's like we settle because, you know, it's either, okay, I'm going to be by myself or I'm just going to be within some mess. And not everything is going to be, you know, unicorns and glitter by any means, because,
that's right,
you know, the last show that I did about being broken, it seems that many of us are indeed broken. Some of us don't want to, we not them, whether or not they're male or female.
Wow.
And it's indeed scary that we won't give each other the opportunity to grow together.
Right. But I think that you really tapped into something when you mentioned the brokenness. I don't know. That's a word that we hear in the church a lot. I don't know that people really understand it, because I think that someone sitting out there could just hear us talk about brokenness and not even realize that we're talking about you, that brokenness. We don't even realize it, which is why I wrote the book, Whose Apple Is It Anyway? Because it's the areas that we're blinded to that are running our lives, okay? And we can go through trauma. Okay, there's trauma you go through, Sardi, that you don't remember. You know, sometimes, and not everybody has that experience, but sometimes people go through stuff that's just so traumatic to them that they might not even remember the event. But then there are things that we go through in life that we very well know that we went through. I think that what happens if anybody out there is like I was, I would suck it up, pick it up, and move on, thinking that I had really gotten over it. I mean, there were decades of stuff I had to come through in writing this book that I thought I was over. I talk about an incident in my last marriage. I was married to that gentleman for 16 years, and he was later convicted as a rapist. He was a sexual predator, a rapist, and he also molested my daughter. Now, you would think that coming through 16 years, you know, that marriage couldn't have been great the whole dang time. We already know that. But it was really traumatic for me to come through to come through that marriage. And I was blessed enough that through that marriage, it was like God wasn't going to allow me to walk out of that marriage stuffing stuff like I had been. In the middle of that marriage, I had a nervous breakdown, and I wound up in a local mental health facility. We call it Pine Rest here. And I begged them not to admit me against my will. And I asked them to please let me not have to be in there. I just had these visions of a padded cell, and I just thought that if I looked up and opened my eyes and saw this padded cell, I would lose all hope of ever getting better. So they let me do it as an outpatient type of thing, but I was an absolute wreck. And I to this day, I can feel how removed I was when I sat there looking at that psychiatrist, looking at me and making his verbal notes into his recorder, talking about she needs to internalize self-esteem. And then I came out of there. Okay, I started thinking, first of all, do I have any of that? And what the heck is that? And how do you even spell it? So I must be externalizing my self-esteem, and I need to enter. Okay, I heard that. It didn't hit home. But when I moved to the next step where they tried to put me in a trauma group because of past rapes, I couldn't get it, Sardi. That's how much when we hear the word broken, we don't even know that we're talking about, that they're even talking about us. I'm thinking, all I want you guys to do is help me through this hellacious marriage and get me well enough to go back to work. Those rates, that trauma in my past is all rump news. I don't want to talk about it anymore. Can we deal with the matter at hand? And it was like years later that I realized that these people knew what the heck they were talking about. Okay, and I obviously needed to be in that rape group that I was, because I was traumatized, but I had stuffed it so deeply that to me it was like hearing a story, oh, that's all new, let me move the heck on. But we don't get to do that. We don't get to do that. We're so busy of getting over stuff that nobody really knows what it is for to let God dig down deep and to move through that pain, as opposed to getting over it. You can get over it. You can stuff it. You can get your mindset, well, okay, let me move on to the next trauma. Or in cases where women might have kids and they might have other people that they have to tend to, like their children. So they just suck it up, get over it enough to go ahead and function through the next thing. But that stuff piles up over time. And it really mutates who we really are to the point where we think we are the wrong that was done to us. So I had no clue that those rapes were anything that had any effect on me at all. But I had to think back through that as I wrote the book. Go ahead.
You know, let truth be told, we all live in some sort of padded cell, whether or not it's a physical one, like a psychiatric hospital, or mentally. And it's very important for us to recognize that even though we get over, we do have to get through. Because at the end of the day, I can be like, okay, well, I'm over this situation, but if I come around something or someone that triggers that past situation, I'm not yet done with it.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
And the sad thing about it is that, ethnically speaking, Black people, and I am always grateful to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is first above everything. However, we as Black people, and sometimes people of color or minorities, seems to think that mental health should not be addressed through health professionals.
That's well said. Well said. Very well said. And you're right, it is a cultural thing, and some have tied it back to For instance, there's a cancer center here called LACS, LACKS, and some very famous people, the DeVosses, who own Amway, are behind that that hospital, that cancer hospital, and it's based on some evidence they got from, it was African-American lady, and whatever it was they took from her, her DNA or whatever it was they took without her knowing about it or approving it, and they developed they moved cancer research way down the road based on this woman's case. And she was ignored for decades, okay? Then you go back to where they took I forget what it was called, but there was a movie called Miss Somebody's Boys, where what they really did was they were pumping African-American men full of this, they were full of syphilis, and leading those young men to believe that they were in there getting treated for it, and they were not treating them. They wanted to let the syphilis progress throughout these men's lives long enough to see what would the end result be. And that was illegal, too. So there's really a history for us not even trusting medicine, period. But this pervasive thing, this paradigm that you mentioned about African-American people and not trusting mental health, that permeated the church for decades, too. You would have people in the pulpit talking about you ain't, you know, people feeling guilty like they don't have enough faith because they might have a real physiological thing going on in their brain that needed to be treated, and being told don't take your medicine. Okay, you must not be saved, or you must not have enough faith because you're still suffering this thing. See, and it permeates not only African American culture, but they, for years it was in the church as well. And what you wind up do is you have a bunch of people beating themselves up for not having enough faith, when in reality there are true physiological issues going on in their brains that cause the condition they're suffering. Now, I know that you have been through some major trauma yourself, especially when you were doing your service and everything. And then you talked about how you had that you're not married anymore, that you had been married. Well, I'm sure that you didn't realize for a lot of years, how deeply affected you actually were from what you suffered, especially in a non-supportive culture such as you were in when it happened. But we carry that into our relationship. So when you talk about brokenness and people looking for relationships, then what you have here is somebody who is not whole, okay, wishing, hoping, and waiting for a relationship that a man who is whole, you following me? And because we're not whole, we couldn't maintain a healthy relationship if we recognized it before us. And we wind up getting in relationships with people who perpetuate the trauma, perpetuate the negativity that led us to be broken in the first place. And I call those unexpressed expectations. They're the subtle, the internal things that drive us and drive our behaviors in the way we think and draw more of that into our lives. Now, on a conscious level, we want better. You know, I talk about in the book, I got to a point where I wanted better. I was willing to wait for better. I was believing for better. But I go on to say that all the wishing and waiting didn't do a daggum thing to make my situation any better, that it was actually having to dig into those areas of brokenness, really learning what in our humanity, which is what's so different about this book, it deals with our humanity and the realities of being human, multiple decades of sound behavioral science, as well as the spiritual. But you can't get it all by spiritual. Nobody's going to lay their hands on you and just automatically erase multiple decades, multiple years of trauma. And then when we don't get healed, we have the emotional experience in church. You know, we're really ready to rear and to go. When we get done, we turn around, walk out the church doors, back into the same mess. And we wonder why we're not getting the victory. Well, this book is why we're not getting the victory. It'll tell you that you got to deal with your humanity as well as your spirituality. And sometimes walking through that pain is a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, and well worth it.
And you know, that is such a serious thing. Like, for a long time, I denied my past, and I denied everything that came with it. You know, I am the fourth child of a sibling set of five from a single mother. You know, I love my mom, because without her, I would not be here. The unfortunate thing, though, is that there was so much that actually happened when my mom was not raising me that made me go into relationships such as, you know, the one with my ex-husband and anyone after that. You know, even with the absence of my dad, I took a lot of years looking for what I thought was an image of my dad. I would date those in turn that were older than me. You know, I still have a tendency to want to be involved with older men only because, you know, mentally speaking, I don't think those that are my age are mature enough to deal with me on a mental level. So we have to be able to look back at our past and realize, you know, and again, not knocking my mom because, you know, we parent how we were parented. And it is up to us to make a difference on, hey, well, this worked with me, so I'm going to do that. Or this did not work with me, so I'm definitely not going to do that. And, you know, you have your traditional individuals of color that don't necessarily break that cycle of their parents or their grandparents, because nowadays you have so many kids that are being raised by their grandparents, and that's like 30, 40 years more than what the child actually is.
So, you hit on a really, really powerful point there, Sardi, because you get right to the point of something that I said on a TV program that I taped last week. Our parents raised us out of their own trauma. Now, you have to go back another generation from you because I believe you're about the age of my children. My mother and her mother and her mother's mother, okay, they were not talking about that mess, okay? It was tad doggone boo. They wasn't opening their mouth to talk about nothing that went in the past, nothing that went on with them, nothing went on with their parents. It just was just locked down. Nobody was talking about it. So now you're not talking about what you went through, all right? And you got multiple generations of women raising each other who had been through some kind of trauma. They not talking about it, but they show raising you out of that pain. You see what I'm saying? And as a child, we don't have enough wherewithal to realize that our parents aren't the know-all and be-all and that they are capable of having those kind of backgrounds and operating out of their pain. Now, I don't think we talked about it last. Did I tell you about wearing pink? Did I mention that? I don't think I did.
No, you didn't, but explain that.
What's her name? Soledad O'Brien, when I was writing the book, this is in the book, she was tweeting about her Black in America series. And it started up a conversation between a number of us about growing up. One girl said that she was taught by her mother to always pinch her nose because I guess she had a wide nose and her mother was offended by that. She wanted her nose to be narrower because it was just too wide for her to be black. Another lady had something else that her mother told her to do. And I talked about how there was this pink and white dress that my great-grandmother made me when I was a kid. And she used to sew by hand. And I loved this pink and white dress. And my mother wouldn't let me wear it because she said I was too dark to wear pink. I don't wear pink to this day. So when I talk about wearing pink, those are the things and the perspectives and the way our parents saw the world based on their own trauma. That girl was being told to pinch her nose. There's nothing wrong with a wide nose. You African doggone American, hello. Bet you're beautiful anyway. But the nose thing was her mother's issue for one reason or another. My mother thought I was too dark to wear pink. Don't wear it right now today. Loved my pink dress. But that's how the people who raise us out of their pain will impress upon us their pain, their ways of thinking, and affect us as children totally unbeknownst to them. But it's all about stuff they're not talking about, see. You can't expect somebody like my mother, her mother's mother, to have a conversation like you and I are having now, Sardi. They just couldn't bring themselves to do that.
It was such a big faux pas, you know, to
put
your mess out there and make it known that Uncle slept with Cousin Sally.
Yep. I love the way you put that.
It was a big issue.
Yes.
And, you know,
yes.
We as black people, we all, and, you know, not to make this show necessarily about color, but even minorities, we always have an issue putting us down, and we have yet to realize that we as a people oppress each other, and it starts from when we are born.
Uh-huh, right.
The color paint
yeah, so
does not equate to anything with the pigmentation of my skin. Now, I love red lipstick. I'm a big fan of red.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
It makes me feel fierce, and it makes me feel like Superwoman.
Oh,
however,
by the way, I saw your Facebook page, and red is your color, my friend. You look good in red.
Oh, thank you, boo-boo.
I had to get that.
I love the red.
I had to get that in there, girl. That dress was popping.
Well,
okay, but go ahead.
I'm
sorry.
So much. But now,
yeah, red
you know,
is your color.
I'm getting to, thank you. I'm getting to experience, you know, different colors. And the thing
okay.
about a person that is dark-skinned, depending on how you dress your lip up, pink could be
uh-huh.
the most soft color on your face, and it gives you a different sense of being when you actually play down your lip. Like, people don't understand, and that's that external self-image that you were speaking of.
Right.
That comes from the way we dress, the way we beat our faces, the way we do
mm-hmm.
our hair. And sometimes it feeds into our internal self-esteem, but more times than not, if our hair is not done, we feel some kind of way. That's just bottom line.
Yeah, you piece of work. And for those listeners out there that don't know what she meant about beat her face, back in the day, they didn't even have makeup or color. I remember watching my grandmother getting ready, and she would always get ready. Her face would be so much lighter than the rest of her, but that's all they had to work with. And they would sit up and they would pound their face with this powder, this big powder puff. All they wore was powder back then. And we used to call that beating our face because they'd be beating their face with this powder puff trying to get pretty. So that's what she means by beat our face. But, yeah, you're right. But, you know, a lot of times we put a lot more into the external because we don't feel so good about ourselves on the inside. If I see one more selfie of somebody standing in a bathroom mirror with their belly out or wearing something skimpy, you know what I'm saying? It just some people, when you look at their pages, all you see is selfie, 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 selfie. And, yeah, they be looking good, okay? But I really would like to see a lot more of us pay more attention to what's going on inside of us, because that's what's drawing all the negativity in our lives as far as relationships are going. There's so many of us the young kids I'm noticing nowadays that are wearing the crop tops, the tight clothes, the short skirts, the short shorts, the high heels. I was just looking at somebody's page today, and the young lady looked like she, when you saw her without her makeup, she looked like she was about 13 years old. But when she was all made up with all her little short stuff on, she looked like she was in her 20s, okay? And I'm thinking, now what kind of man is that attracted into your life when you feel like you have to really show off all you got in order to outshine the other person showing off all they've got? And what kind of men would that draw into your life? Okay, so they're too young to know better, okay? The same trauma that led them to this day will increase and become more and more layer upon layer as they get older. So bottom line is this, doesn't matter how good you look right now today, doesn't matter how good you look at 30, 40, 50, 60 years old, the bottom line is this, what kind of trauma and crud is crowding out your heart? That's the key. What's crowding out your heart? And so I wrote this book because it was important to me, Sardi, to help guide people through why they feel the way they feel, why they see things the way they see things, and more than that, just because you see it that way does not make it reality. This is all about learning how to align ourselves with truth and how to walk through the pain and the healing process in order to get back to who you truly are. So we're not talking about you becoming a new person, because to me, you're the person God created you to be, and that's how he sees you, case closed, okay? The disconnect comes when life's traumas crowd us out and turns us into the complete opposite of who God created us and sees us to be. So now we ain't thinking right. We not lining up with what he created. When we come through the healer, then we get introduced to who we truly are.
You know, I work at a school, and I remember when I wore a tennis skirt, and today, when I saw that, I was like, you know you're getting old, Sardi, when stuff that you wore is starting to repeat itself.
I've been there.
those crop tops that they're wearing, if there are any young ladies listening, please recognize that what you show out externally truly affects what people see in you internally. Your
right.
belly button showing does not make you a lady. And there are levels to, you know, when you grow. Of course, you know, you're a girl, then you're a young lady, et cetera, et cetera. But why indeed do you feel the need to show off your butt cheeks to the world, whether or not it's on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, or Twitter? Like, we've all been there. So we're not
mm-hmm.
telling you totally wrong with it, but recognize what you attract when you dress that way.
Yeah. Yeah, and as you speak to the young women who are listening to you, you know, my heart just goes out to them because they are so clueless and they do not see how that affects and reflects on how other people perceive them to be. We know that God did not create us to do that kind of thing, and what my heart goes out to them about is that, oh my goodness, they're so clueless, and that's not the most important thing, to be showing everything off. And then you wind up in bad relationship because you got guys out there around your same age and they're just visual. You know, they're physiologically built to be visual. And so now you're attracting those men into your life, but all time your heart really is crying out for one man who will love and cherish you the way that you deserve to be loved and cherished. And I was like that in my 20s. I didn't give a rip, girl. Let me tell you something. I was stuck on stupid. I was like, look, if they don't care to see me who I really am, I don't care. I'm going to wear this if I want to. I didn't give a rip, girl. But as you get older, like I said, well, number one, in my case, you get older, you can't wear that crap no way. Okay, so I'm not lying about it. But my heart goes out to them because they don't see what they're doing. And what's going on in their hearts is my thing. What's in your heart? What's hurting you? What's got you crying out like that?
Right, because sometimes it is, you know, a call for attention. And, you know, I didn't understand the comfort in sweatpants until I was 30.
Girl,
and so,
yeah.
You know, my thing is that can't love and cherish me in my sweatpants and hoodie and Timberlands, then he definitely
mm-hmm.
can't love me when my butt cheek is hanging out.
That's right, right. And when you think about it, though, one butt cheek after another butt cheek is a butt cheek. So once yours walk by, he's going to be looking for the next butt cheek that's going to be walking by. You know, that butt cheek's up the wazoo out there. You know, you can't hold a man like that.
Now, you know, I'm not going to knock anyone that was blessed with a backside. You know, God decided that that's not where he wanted to put my biggest asset. You know, eventually
mm-hmm.
I got over it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm grateful for where he did indeed put my biggest asset. You know, I am a big fan of my assets, and I'll just leave it like that because we don't know the age of who's listening.
Yeah, right.
But you have to love the body and the skin that you're in. You know, us that are highly pigmented, you know, we had to learn that. Even when I was in school, it seemed that, you know, those of lighter complexion got more attention than I did.
Yep.
And in turn, you know, I can be honest and look back and say that I truly use my assets. And I can't say for greater good, because when I look back at it and when I go to reunions, that remember when, and then I remind them, that was her then. That is not her now. People have
Come
to realize
on,
that there is a basis on why people feel that you are still that way, even 10 years later or 20 years later.
Well, people don't want you to change. I'm sorry. That's the one thing I learned about folks. Once they see you like that, I don't care if they see you for 30 years differently, people just don't want to let you change. That doesn't have crap to do with the price of beans in Asia, though. Bottom line is this. We have got to recognize who we are. Understand that. The earth suit we're sitting in now just gets us through this particular atmosphere. It's how we got to do things now. Everybody lives forever. Everybody got a soul that lives forever. The question becomes, where you going to be after you slip up out of this body suit, this earth suit? Everybody got to slip up out that earth suit. If you were to slip up out that earth suit right now today, what would you be, who would you be, and where would you be?
And we also have to remember the law of gravity, that what comes up shall come down.
Yeah.
And so if
you
are maintaining a relationship.
You in big trouble, girl. You in big trouble then. I saw your picture. I ain't going to let you get away with that, boy. You in trouble.
Lane Bryant is my friend, and I am so grateful for that story. But we do have to remember that, you know, that is the law of gravity. And
yeah,
the bottom line is, if you are maintaining him with your external being and not your internal being and your mind, then the same way you were pretty to him then, when you were showing
your
goodness assets, that's going to go away. So you've got to attract your mate with something different.
Well, see, my thing is, if indeed what he's majoring on is your physical being, is that all that there is? And if it is that really the man you want in your life? That's the big question. I mean, is that really what you want in your life? Some guy that's all caught up with the physical, and that's as good as it gets. I'm just being real.
At the end of the
day,
the physical is not, you know, I believe when I look back, when I was in high school, I used to take pictures of me in the male that I was interested in, only because even then I was like, if I have a kid with this guy, will my kid be pretty, or will, you know, will he be handsome? And then I had to think about it. That was such a vain way of thinking, because he could be the most amazing looking young man and still be a scrub or a bum.
Yes, yes.
And so at the end of the day, and not to say I want a complete nerd, because he would bore me to death, but
right,
I need someone that's going to give me a total combination, and he doesn't have to be perfect, because I am flawed all day long.
Yeah, that's me too, girl. That's me too.
But on the same
question,
I want him to love me or care for me because of my flaws, not because of my
actions. In spite of them. Right.
Right.
Well, this is the deal. This whole crap about you complete me, not, no, I don't think so, okay? We need to focus on being whole and complete individuals ourselves in order to bring that into a healthy relationship with someone else who is whole and complete. Because if you're looking to him to fix you, to keep you fixed, to meet your internal expectations or your expressed expectations, if you're looking for him to make it up to you for all the wrong that was done to you by other people, that is the wrong perspective. You're setting up to fail. Nobody else can be all that to you. But then we got to read the book and maybe tune in next week to hear the rest of that.
Yes. And the most important thing to recognize is that validation comes from no one but yourself. No one validates you. No one makes you who you are. You make you who you are. They compliment you. That is what a relationship is all about, being complimentary. If he cannot or she cannot compliment you, then that's the wrong person for you.
Absolutely.
So, unfortunately, soul listeners, we have come to the end of yet another show. Linda said, this is a mini-series on the Soul's Block Talk Radio Show, and she will be back yet again next week. If you plan on listening back to this show and you've not found Linda, how can they find you, Linda?
Whoseapple.org, WHOSEAPPLE.ORG. Look me up.
And the other thing, too, also, ladies and gentlemen, is that Who's Apple Anyway is just not a gender-specific book. All of us can benefit from the words and the knowledge that Linda is sharing in her book. So,
I agree with you. Thank you.
You're so welcome. And because she is also a fellow MSW, ladies and gentlemen, social workers are the smartest people on the planet.
There you go. So, I'm not even going to argue that.
So until next week, ladies and gentlemen, I leave you with this. I want you to remember that you have to put God first, and after that, everything else will follow.
Amen.
Anything else from you, Linda?
No, you guys have a great week, and be prepared next week to call in with your questions, relationship questions, whatever, because we'd love to field them for you. I'd love to have some interaction with the listeners.
Yes, and if you're Skyping, all you have to do is push that talk button and release your questions, because we are so ready.
You know that's right. Make a great team, my friend. I'm looking forward to next week.
Yes, so you have a great evening, Linda, and we will talk to you next week. Have a good evening.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.